O God, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, we pray that your word would go out from your mouth this morning, and we pray that it would not return to you empty. We pray that it would accomplish that which you purpose, and that it would succeed in the thing for which you send it. O God, would you speak to us through the preaching of your word? Specifically, I pray that you would help us to see that Jesus Christ is the substance, and that as we gaze upon Christ, that our minds would be renewed and our hearts would be transformed. God, would you give the growth and would you work mightily through your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you all. I missed you. We were gone last week at camp. As Lee said, I think it went really well. I was deeply encouraged by the kids there, and they were just hungry for the word, and they were just soaking it up. So I really enjoyed it. If you want to get maybe a better perspective, you can ask Carter. He was there, so he can tell you what the kids were thinking. I just have my own perspective. But I'm glad to be back with you all this morning. Now, as we begin, as normal, we'll have our words for kids. And the idea behind this is that you write down the word. This is for kids. The idea is that you would write down the words, and then every time you hear this word, just to put a tally mark behind it so that it can help you follow along. And I don't think I've ever publicly shared the story of why we do this. Actually do this because we started doing this with Emmett over a year ago, and one time when we were doing this, it was a sermon that was by one of my River City Institute students, who is, I mean, he's a gifted preacher, but he's still learning how to preach. And this sermon was like 50 minutes long. And 5-year-old Emmett was able to listen to enough so that that day, like, he's asking all these questions, and he got saved that day from listening to a 50-minute sermon as a 5-year-old. And so that's one reason why I want to do these words for kids, just to help you pay attention, and also just to say that these sermons are for all of us, you kids included. This is the word of God for you as well. So our words this morning are Christ, substance, and human. And even if you're like, I don't even know what substance means, you can ask your parents. That still will spur on a good conversation, but hopefully as we go through the sermon, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, so we're continuing our way through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians. Lord willing, after this week, we only have 5 sermons left in this sweet little letter, so that's kind of hard to believe. But this morning we'll be in Colossians 2, 16 through 23. Colossians 2, 16 through 23. So please take your copy of God's Word and turn there with me. Our theme for the whole letter of Colossians is Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. And my hope is that that just gets etched in your mind so that 10 years from now, your life will be changed by that truth. Now, our passage this morning is building off the passage we looked at a few weeks ago in Colossians 2, 8 through 15. In that passage, we saw the Apostle Paul talk about the philosophies that were behind the false teaching that was being promoted to the Colossians. We learned that these philosophies were full of empty deceit, and that they were according to human tradition, and that they were not according to Christ. So we saw the philosophies, and this week what we're going to see in our passage is the practices that these false teachers were promoting to the Colossians. So with that in mind, let's look at our passage together. Colossians 2, verses 16 through 23. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. This is God's holy word that cannot and does not fail. Shadows are fascinating. A couple weeks ago, my son Emmett was really excited to show me that he could make his shadow jump off the ground. And you can probably imagine he was just jumping off the ground and he was excited to see that his shadow was coming off the ground as well. And when I think of shadows, I'm just reminded of this time that another memory with Emmett when he was just a toddler. And I don't know what we were doing, but I was making shadow puppets on the wall. And as a two-year-old, he was just laughing his head off. He thought it was so funny to see these shadows being portrayed on the wall. Shadows are fascinating. And I think, kids, you might agree with me, right? Now, if you follow a shadow closely, it will lead you to the true form of the shadow. If you follow a shadow closely, it will lead you to the substance of the shadow. Now, if I were to follow Emmett's shadow that was jumping up and down, if I were to follow that closely, it would lead me to the substance of that shadow, which was Emmett himself. Shadows lead you to the substance behind the shadow. God has given us many things that are meant to be a shadow, so to speak, of Jesus Christ. The majesty of creation, whether it's a mountain or an ocean or whatever it is just a small shadow of the majesty of Christ himself. The greatest shepherd in the history of the world is just a small shadow of the good shepherd himself. Even the most delicious loaf of bread is just a small shadow of the bread of life. The most refreshing and most thirst-quenching water that you could ever have is just a small shadow of the one who gives living water. God has given us many things that are meant to be a shadow of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus himself is so amazing, it can be easy to see that Jesus Christ is so amazing, therefore these shadows themselves are pretty amazing. And it can be easy for us to settle for the shadow. For example, it can be easy to settle to find our complete joy in the things of creation and miss the one who is behind that shadow. To bring this even deeper, I was watching a documentary, a year and a half ago, and it was about this guy. He was building this submarine to go to the bottom of the ocean. And it was quite fascinating to watch. And when he got to the bottom of the ocean, it was really cool to see. It was just pitch black, but all of the creatures and the different things that were there. And this is what the guy said in the documentary. He said, "This is my church." What he was doing is he was settling for a shadow when the majesty of that creation is meant to point to the majesty of Christ Jesus. It can be easy for us to settle for shadows. But beloved, don't settle for the shadow when you can have the substance. The substance belongs to Christ Jesus. And that is my main point this morning. The substance belongs to Christ Jesus. And I have 2 points that build off of that. The substance belongs to Jesus. So first, hold fast to Christ, verses 16 through 19. And the substance belongs to Christ, therefore do not submit to human teaching, verses 20 through 23. So first point this morning, the substance belongs to Christ, therefore hold fast to him, verses 16 through 19. Our passage begins in verse 16. Look at it with me. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath." Paul begins with the word therefore. And as we've noted before, anytime you see a therefore, you need to ask, what is the therefore there for? The therefore in this case is referring back to our passage from a few Sundays ago in chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, where we saw that if you have been saved, you have been filled in Christ Jesus. You have been made alive together with Christ, that the full record of debt that you owe has been paid in full at the cross of Christ. And because all of those things are true of the believer, Paul is saying, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. In Christ, you are no longer judged by these things. In Christ, you have been set free from the bondage of sin. In Christ, you have been set free from the bondage of the yoke of the law. In Christ, you have been set free from these Old Testament ceremonial regulations. Now, if you've ever read the Old Testament before, maybe you've wondered, or have you ever wondered why we are allowed to eat whatever we want when in the Old Testament, like places in Leviticus, they have all of these very strict dietary laws. In fact, this morning we had bacon and my shirt still smells like bacon. But have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered why we are not celebrating the Old Testament festivals like the Day of Atonement, which was actually just celebrated a couple weeks ago? Or why are we not still celebrating the Passover? Or have you ever wondered why this is a pulpit and this is not an altar where I'm here this morning sacrificing animals to atone for sin? Have you ever wondered those things? Well, this passage actually answers why. Look at verse 17. These are a shadow, all of these Old Testament things are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. All of the things in verse 16 are a shadow, but the substance belongs to Christ Jesus. And Paul's imagery here of a shadow is a very vivid one. As we stated earlier, shadows are fascinating. A shadow is an uncolored, two-dimensional copy of the substance or the real form. A shadow is an undetailed outline of the substance. And as I said before, shadows, if you follow them closely, will lead you to the substance behind the shadow. These Old Testament ceremonial regulations are just a shadow. These Old Testament food and drink laws and these festivals and the new moon, which is like a monthly festival, and the Sabbath, which is their weekly thing, those are all just a shadow. And on top of that, we learn from Hebrews 10 that the whole sacrificial system was meant just to be a shadow. And what this passage is saying is that Jesus Christ is the reality of the shadow. Jesus is the substance of the shadow. Jesus has fulfilled all of these Old Testament ceremonial regulations. Jesus has made it so that all food and drink is clean. Jesus is the Passover lamb who has satisfied the whole sacrificial system. In Hebrews, it says that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. They were just a shadow. But Jesus Christ has offered once for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Jesus has fully satisfied the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. Jesus has fully removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Jesus is the only true substance of salvation. And by implication, this means that Jesus Christ is the only true substance of the Christian life. I think for some of us, it can be easy to think that, well, when I think of Jesus, I just need him to be saved, and then I can just kind of get along until one day I go to heaven. Or I just need to hear the gospel so that I can be saved, and then that's all I need, and then I'll just one day go to heaven. But beloved, you need Jesus Christ every single minute of every single day. It's not that you have to get saved every single day, but it's that Jesus Christ is the substance of your Christian life. He is the only substance that can satisfy your spiritual hunger and thirst. He is the only true substance of peace. He is the only true substance of love. He is the only true substance of joy. And as I was wrestling with my own heart, working through this passage, this was the question that I had. Is Jesus the true substance of my joy, or am I settling for shadows? It can be easy to settle for the shadow. But my friends, don't settle for the shadow when you can have the substance. The substance belongs to Christ. Paul continues in verse 18. Look at it with me. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism in worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. Paul is continuing his warning to the Colossians about these false teachers, and he says, let no one disqualify you. Now, if you remember from a number of weeks ago, way back in Colossians 1, I think it was still summertime, but in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14, we saw that God the Father has qualified the Colossian believers, and therefore, by extension, us. God the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance with the saints in light, and he has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so what Paul is saying here is that there are false teachers who, if you give into their teaching, they will disqualify you from sharing in this inheritance. They have the potential of robbing you of your reward. So what are these false practices that are being promoted in verse 18? Well, I'm just going to be completely humble and say, I don't know the specifics behind these things. You can read it and you're like, what in the world is going on? You can look at commentaries. One person says one thing, one person says another. I'm really not sure on the specifics, but I think the principle behind these practices are clear. The principle is that they were doing some sort of fasting from food and fasting from the things of the world with the hopes of obtaining some sort of heavenly vision. They were promoting the practice of worshiping and praying to the angels. And then what they would do is that they would boast of these visions with a motivation of pride. So let's summarize that then. They were promoting the idea of some sort of self-deprivation so that they could make their way into the heavenly places through these visions, and then they would boast about these visions that they saw. Or again, even to narrow it down, if I had to say it in one sentence, it would be this. They were trying to make their own way into heaven, and then they were boasting about that way that they made, and then they were trying to lead others astray. Today, this would be similar to some heretical cults that we have around us, like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, where they're trying to make their own way into heaven. And even Mormonism is interesting because it has to do with a vision that Joseph Smith saw, and then they're promoting this false teaching, and they're boasting about it. But it's leading others astray. And these false practices have the potential of disqualifying you from the inheritance because they cut you off from Christ Jesus, who is the source of life. Look at verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. When you give in to these false practices, you are letting go of the head. Now, the head here is clearly referring to Christ Jesus. And as we've seen earlier in Colossians, head can refer to the authority or the ruler over something. But here, it can also mean the source of life. And I believe in this context, it's referring to the source of life because it's talking about if you're connected or you're holding fast to the source, you will be nourished and knit together and you will grow with a growth that comes from God. So I believe the head is referring to the source of life here. Now, the Amazon River is one of the largest rivers in the world. And I'm really fascinated by the Amazon River, but I'm really scared of it. I could never actually go there just because the fish and things kind of freak me out. But my point is that the Amazon River is this huge system of rivers. It is the source of life for countless birds, trees, fish, and even people. It is the source of life for all of these things. And in a similar way in our passage, the head, Christ, is the source of life. And what Paul is saying is that these practices, these false teaching, cut you off from the head because they place the shadow above the reality. They're placing angels above Jesus. They're placing visions above the real thing, Jesus himself. They place our pride above the glory of Christ. And this is all based on a sinful mind and not the Spirit. These practices cut us off from our head. They cut us off from the source of life. It'd be like if, for some reason, the water level goes up and down in the Amazon. It'd be like a fish getting cut off from the Amazon River when the water levels go down, and then it's just caught in this poisonous pond. That's what these practices do. Because, beloved, it is only in Jesus that we will grow. It is only when we are holding fast to Christ that we will grow. It is only when we are finding our satisfaction in Christ that we will be nourished and knit together. It is only when we are fully committed to Christ Jesus that we will grow with a growth that is from God himself. So this leads to a question. How do you know if your spiritual practices are good and right and true? The simple answer is, they will bring a growth from God. They will fill you with the fruit of the Spirit. And thank you, Linnell, for this really helpful diving through this passage this morning. But you will know that your spiritual practices are good and right and true if you are growing in the fruit of the Spirit, which, as we looked at this morning, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You will be growing in those things instead of growing in the fruit of the flesh, which, again, as we looked at this morning, is sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So let me ask you, what are your spiritual practices? Are they filling you with the fruit of the Spirit, or with the fruit of the flesh? Beloved, hold fast to the head. Hold fast to Christ Jesus through reading and meditating on his word. Hold fast to Christ Jesus through humbly communing with him in prayer. Hold fast to Christ through deep and honest Christian fellowship. Hold fast to Christ by committing yourself to the local church and making it a priority to come and worship with God's people. It can be easy to settle for the shadow. But don't settle for the shadow when you can have the real thing. When you can have the substance. The substance belongs to Christ. Therefore, hold fast to him. And don't submit to human teaching. So, second point this morning, the substance belongs to Christ. Therefore, don't submit to human teaching, verses 20 through 23. The Apostle Paul continues with a very serious question in verses 20 through 22. And this is a really long question, but let's look at it together. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive to the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used. Keep going. Can you? Oh, that was like 4 seconds. We did it. All right. Good job, guys. So that's a mouthful of a question. In essence, Paul is asking, if you have died to the world, why do you submit to... Is it on now? We're on. All right. Good job, guys. There may be an evil one who doesn't want me to go through this question here. I don't want to doubt the spiritual realities. And the second part is submitting to human teaching. So we're going to look at each of these in turn. So first, dying to the world. Paul is making the point that if you are in Christ, you have died to the elemental spirits of the world. The elemental spirits of the world refer to demonic spirits. You see, like, there's something going on here. But these elemental God, and they try to entice you with the things of the world. This false teaching comes through human rules and regulations that is influenced by the spiritual world. And what Paul is saying is that if you are in Christ, you have died to these elemental spirits. Paul made this point in the last passage we looked at. In Colossians 2:13, Paul said, by way of reminder, "And you who were dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with Christ." If you are a believer, before you were saved, you were dead in your trespasses, but now you have been made alive together with Christ. You have been united with Christ in his resurrection. Or to say it in another way, you have been born again. Now, I know I asked this a couple weeks ago, but I must ask it again. Have you been born again? Have you been made alive together with Christ? Do you have the spiritual life of Christ in you? If your spiritual life is a tree, is it rooted to Christ Jesus, and is it bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Jesus says that you must be born again. Now, if you have been born again, the point that Paul is saying here is that if you have been born again, you have died to the elemental spirits of the world. Your old self was crucified with Christ so that you would no longer be enslaved to sin. It is no longer you who live, but it is Christ who lives in you because you have been crucified with Christ. And if you belong to Christ Jesus, you have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you are in Christ, you have died to the world. You no longer live for worldly passions and pleasures. You no longer live under worldly rules and regulations. You have been delivered from the domain of darkness, and you have been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Satan is no longer your master, but Jesus Christ is now your Lord. You have died to the world. So that's the first part of the question, and Paul makes that point to ask the second part of his question. And he's asking, if you have died to the world, why do you still live as if you are alive to the world? If you have been raised to newness of life in Christ, why do you desire to go back to spiritual death? If you have died to the world, why do you submit to human teaching? Now, the human teaching and precepts or regulations in this passage refer to things that all perish as they are used. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And these are rules enforced by human teachings and traditions. And what happens is they become an endless spiral of rules and regulations that you have to follow. Perhaps the prime example in the life of Jesus is in Matthew 15, when he's confronting the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are coming to him, and it's like, why do your disciples not wash your hands in this specific way before they eat? And Jesus says to them, why do you make void the word of God for your tradition? They have added all of these human regulations and rules. We see this in our day and age in things like penance in the Catholic Church, where they've taken a good idea, like it's good to be sorry for your sin, and then now they've added these 10 works that you have to do to pay for your sin. Or we see this even in alcohol. If it's a sin to be drunk, then we better not drink, or lest we touch it, or we better not drink or even touch it, lest we die. Now, I just want to make a side note here that I do recognize that for specific people at specific time, you need to completely stay away from alcohol. I get it. That was me, actually. When I first got saved, I struggled with it. But the point that, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that all of these rules and regulations that we add to what Scripture is teaching us, and we make it a rule for everybody. That's what I'm talking about. And you can see how even good ideas and rules can become a never-ending spiral of man-made rules and traditions that take you away from Christ Jesus. So with this in mind, the point of Paul's question is clear. If you have died to the world, why do you submit to human teaching? And this is clearly a rhetorical question, meaning that if you are in Christ, it's absolutely absurd to submit to these human teachings. It'd be like giving up a steak dinner so that you can eat a pile of dung. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Galatians 4:9. He says, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Beloved, you have been set free in Christ Jesus from the slavery of sin and human teaching. You have been set free in Christ from the slavery of the elemental spirits of the world. You have been set free not so that you can give in to sin, but so that you can actually turn away from sin and live for Christ. Therefore, don't go back to these worthless elementary spirits of the world. Don't go back to the slavery of worldly ideas. Do not submit to human teaching. Because human teaching will never stop your desire for sin." And this is how Paul concludes our passage this morning. Look at verse 23 with me. These human teachings and precepts and regulations, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. These human teachings have the appearance of wisdom. They seem wise. They look to the outside world that they are good and right and true, but they are not. They only appear to be wise. It's kind of like an atheist college professor. He may appear to be wise, but the Bible says that he is actually a fool. These human teachings appear to be wise, but they are really foolish. They only appear to be wise, but in reality, it's only promoting ourselves. Human teaching does not promote God. It may seem like it does, and this is where it can be really tricky because it can use the language of Christianese. It may seem like it, but it is only man-made religion that places man over God. And this human teaching, this man-made religion, has no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. This human teaching has no power to actually change our desires. It does not have the capability to stop us from giving in to our sinful desires. Human teaching and man-made religion can never, ever clean us the way that we need to be cleaned. Human teaching is like cleaning your house by throwing everything in the closet. It may look clean, it may appear clean, but you open that closet door and you realize things are still a mess. The house is not actually clean. Beloved, your hearts need to be cleaned. Your hearts need to be changed, and human teaching will never change your heart. Doing works of penance will never change your desire for sin. Not touching alcohol, however wise that may be for certain people at certain times, will never change your desire for alcohol. You need a heart change, and human teaching will never, ever change your heart. Now, what we're going to look at here, and as we transition to chapter 3 of Colossians, Lord willing, next week, we'll look at how our desires are changed and what that looks like. But for now, I think it's really important for us to just be aware of human teaching. We need to keep our eyes open for human teaching. So here's a few characteristics of human teaching, and I apologize, I should have made a slide. I thought about it, but I didn't, and I'm not exactly sure why. But human teaching is focused on self. Human teaching is focused on building your own little earthly kingdom. Human teaching is focused on man-made rules. Human teaching does not stop or change your desire to sin. And human teaching makes void the word of God for the sake of tradition. Human teaching is not according to Christ. And I'll just say those again quickly. Human teaching is focused on self. Human teaching is focused on building your own little kingdom. Human teaching is focused on man-made rules. Human teaching will never stop or change your desire to sin. Human teaching makes void the Word of God for the sake of tradition, and human teaching is not according to Christ. Beloved, beware of human teaching. Do not submit yourself to human teaching. Submit yourself to Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the substance. In Him you have all that you need. So do not submit to human teaching. Jesus is supreme. In Him you have all that you need. So seek the things that are above. It can be really easy to settle for the shadow when we have the substance right here in Christ Jesus. Don't settle for the shadow when you can have the substance. The substance belongs to Christ. Therefore, hold fast to Him and don't submit to human teaching. Let us pray. Almighty God, we humbly come before You and we worship You. We praise You that You have given us shadows in this world that are meant to point to the substance, that we can even see Your character and Your goodness and Your Son, Christ Jesus, through creation, through Old Testament ceremonial regulations, through the sacrificial system. But God, it can be so easy to settle for the shadow. God, I pray for each one of us here that as we're tempted to settle for the shadow, I pray that we would see in that shadow the substance. I pray that we would follow the shadow to the real form behind it, Christ Jesus. Christ, the substance belongs to You, and I pray that we would rest in You. I pray that You would be the substance of our joy and our love and our peace. I pray that You would be the substance of our everyday life. And I pray that we would live wholeheartedly to You, because if we are in Christ, we have died to the elemental spirits of the world, and we have been made alive in You. Give us the eyes through Your Spirit and Your Word to watch out for human teaching, and help us to submit our lives to